ABC Radio Australia.
The latest COVID-19 figures from the Pacific show that the region appears to have largely managed to stop the spread of the virus, with very few new cases confirmed across the region this week. The total number of reported cases since March stands at 261, but as the number of people who recover from COVID-19 continues to grow, the actual number of active cases is now at around 40. That suggests that the strict rules about people's movements and bans on public gatherings are working. But experts say people shouldn't become complacent. In some places in the Pacific, testing has been quite limited, which could mean these figures don't quite portray the full picture. And in all of this, journalists and news organisations have been playing a key role in getting information about the virus and the various states of emergency out to the people. But the coronavirus emergency has left some people worried that governments, not just in the Pacific but globally, are using it to control the media. That comes as a new report from a media watchdog, Reporters Without Borders, has shown many countries in the region, including Australia and New Zealand, have slipped in their latest media freedom rankings. To talk about all of this and more on media freedoms, I am joined by David Roby, the director of Pacific Media Centre. Good morning, David.
Hey, good morning.
In what ways are governments reportedly using tough controls for the media during the COVID-19 pandemic?
Well, it's a pretty major concern in some parts of the Pacific in particular, which is reflecting the concerns right across the globe now. But particularly Papua New Guinea and Fiji, two countries that have been singled out in particular by Reporters Without Borders. That's actually RSF have put out two reports in the last week or so criticising both countries actually for transgressions. But it is a global problem. The concern is that countries like Fiji and Papua New Guinea, where there's been a tendency for authoritarianism anyway, they're actually sort of using the cover, if you like, of the pandemic to exert even more difficulties and controls on the media.
You mentioned there Papua New Guinea, where media briefings have been curtailed with a lockdown of national information and operations. But isn't it just being responsible to limit the risk of journalists' health, especially when COVID-19 has been found at Murauta House, which is where the journalists were attending media conferences? Wouldn't it have been irresponsible to keep holding media briefings at a place where there'd been a confirmed case?
Well, there's an argument definitely for that. But there are other incidents that have been happening that actually are sort of exerting control on the media. And I think, for example, we had this case just recently with the police minister, Brian Cramer. Ironically, Cramer's actually had quite a reputation when he was opposition MP for transparency and freedom of information. But recently he applied pressure on two of the most prominent journalists in Papua New Guinea, Dorothy Kenneth, she's a leading reporter on the Post Courier, and then also Freddie Moe from Loop PNG for their reporting on how the budget that was allocated for the pandemic was being spent, and allegations that were being made that part of the budget was being spent on consultants and hire cars and so on. And this information came out of an interview with the Treasurer. There was Brian Cramer sort of stepped in and said, look, hang on, the Treasurer has been misquoted. And he sort of called for the sacking of these two journalists. So that's the sort of harassment that is being made use of under the pandemic. But I have to mention that there's quite a concern in Papua New Guinea in particular for its neighbouring Melanesian provinces of Papua and West Papua. They're of course, two provinces just across the border that are administered by Indonesia. And that border is about 820 kilometres long and quite porous. And three of the cases that are in Papua New Guinea, the three out of eight confirmed cases, are in Western Province adjoining that border. And it's well known that there's quite a serious problem already in both Papua and West Papua. I think the total, I believe the total is around about 226 confirmed cases and 7 deaths. So there's a lot of concern and fear that, you know, the poorest border, that there could be spreading of cases across the border. So that's actually been reflected with pressure on the media and so on as well. We've had just recently the SEPAK governor, Alan Bird, who actually called, well, we need to have an order put in place, something like shoot to kill, which caused a lot of controversy at the time. And I don't know how serious he was about that call, but what the point he was really trying to make is there wasn't a sufficient enough security policy on the border.
And you were speaking there about how there is a lot of fear around the coronavirus, especially with the poorest borders with the West Papua provinces near PNG. But we've seen rumours spread quickly through the Pacific about COVID-19, usually on social media. And governments do, I guess, need to control the message and make sure that people are getting accurate information. Should there be exceptions made for governments in unprecedented times like this?
Well, you know, this is absolutely illustrates, you know, really underscores the importance of having free media and media that's actually journalists well-informed and really working in the public interest. Sometimes the governments can be quite overbearing in the message that they put across. There's an extreme level of sensitivity, and this is what happened with the complaints by RSF, for example, over Fiji, with the arrest of broadcasters and so on, and some of the comments that were being made on social media. But it just really just underscores the fact that it's really important to have free media right across the region. And even in good times, there's a tendency for a lot of governments in the Pacific to really not understand the role of the media and how important it is to get good, reliable information. And that's really the antidote to rumours on social media.
Now, turning to the 2020 Reporters Without Borders Press Freedom Index that was also recently released, it's based on the past year, so well before COVID-19. How did the Pacific countries go?
Well, it hasn't been a good year, to be absolutely honest, and bear in mind that this report is largely around 2019. That's the information that's really gathered, although it's only just come out, of course, but that's reflecting mostly 2019, and so it doesn't reflect some of the things that have happened in the last 2 or 3 months or so during the height of the pandemic. We can say that it's a really difficult situation when almost all the countries have actually dropped. I mean, for example, take Australia. And Australia has actually had a sliding position with the World Press Index now for a few years. But so they're now in the 26th position. That's down 5 places. And then you've got Fiji. Well, Fiji has been more or less no change, but it's in a bad place anyway, 52nd. New Zealand slipped as well. Now, New Zealand's usually done fairly well. It's usually been in the 10 top places of world press freedom, but it's dropped 2 places down to 7th this time. And then Papua New Guinea also dropped 8 places. Samoa, not too bad, only just down a place to 22nd. And the irony is Timor-Leste. Now, Timor-Leste is not always covered as part of the Pacific, but we certainly look at it as very much part of the Pacific for a variety of reasons. Not only the fact that many of the journalists have actually sort of gone to, say, journalism schools in Papua New Guinea and things like that, but we do look at it as a part of the Pacific, and it's actually did really quite well. It's up 6 places, reflecting some really good media freedom issues that are actually happening in Timor. Overall, it's looking pretty bleak. And Australia, of course, we've had the police raids last year, in June last year, on the Canberra-based political reporter and also the ABC headquarters in Sydney. And these were regarded as absolutely flagrant violations of the confidentiality of journalist sources and public interest journalism by the Reporters Without Borders report. So it's not surprising that Australia has actually dropped down quite a few places again this year.
You're right. Australia has fallen 5 places and New Zealand has dropped as well, as you mentioned. And yet they like to portray themselves as the bigger brothers of the Pacific. But do these results suggest they're not the role models that they think they are to the Pacific?
Well, sadly, that's very true. They're no longer really the role models that have been traditionally in place. For years, I lived in the Pacific for 10 years myself, both in Fiji and Papua New Guinea. And, for years, both Australia and New Zealand were regarded as beacons of press freedom. And so journalists right through the region were able to look to Australia and New Zealand, particularly for support on media freedom issues, because these issues keep coming up in all Pacific countries. So Australia and New Zealand were sort of looked upon as examples that could be pointed to as best practice and so on, and media freedom issues and that sort of thing. And so that reputation is certainly being very dented, certainly in Australia's case. So it's a bit disappointing, really.
Finally, David, you mentioned before that, overall it is looking pretty bleak across the region. What can journalists do to make sure that the media is still free in the Pacific?
Well, I think journalism activism is really important for media freedom. It's a matter of being vigilant all the time. The good thing is, in the Pacific, there are a lot of groups that actually sort of work very hard for media freedom issues. And I think the Pacific Freedom Forum is one, there's the Pacific Media Watch, there are various others, been a number of others. But there are a lot of journalists right across the region that are very conscious of media freedom issues because they keep coming up. They really act strongly to defend media freedom. I think both in Australia and New Zealand, sometimes we tend to be a bit complacent about this, taking it for granted, whereas journalists in the Pacific are very, very sensitive on media freedom issues.